And some of you try to find life in other ways to come to God. I'm going to tell you right now, Buddha is dead. Muhammad is dead. Confucius is dead. Mary Baker Eddy is dead. Sun Myung Moon is dead. All the other leaders are dead. Jesus died, but he walked out of the tomb. Happy Easter, everybody. Everybody say good news.
Good news.
I want to share good news with you today, but I want to ask you this question. What if somebody had good news and they never told you? I mean, just unfriend them. Block them on social media. Done. You're dead to me if you don't tell me good news. I was recently told this story about a woman who got pregnant, and her and her husband decided they were going to tell everybody the good news of their pregnancy except for one sibling. And so they decided not to tell the one sister that they were pregnant and go the whole 9 months without her discovering that her other sister was pregnant until one day she came into the house and the baby was there. I don't know how oblivious her sister is, but it's kind of mean to not tell the good news. If you have good news, you want to share it, right? You guys do this all the time, like, oh my gosh, I went to this restaurant, it was so good. You have to try it. Except for you recipe people. Some of you recipe people have a good recipe, and you're like, no, I can't tell you. It's a family secret. You're a weirdo. We love good news, and today we're starting a brand new series. We're going to spend the next few weeks talking about it, but especially here today on Easter Sunday, about what it is to live from victim to victor. And I want to ask you this question this morning, and that's this. Are you living as a victim, or are you living in victory? You are living in one of these two areas of life. You're living as a victim, or you're living in victory. Which one are you? Today, we're going to talk about moving from victim to victor in our life and what God has to say about it and what it has to do with Easter, because Easter is all about victory. It's all about winning through Christ Jesus. It's all about understanding what that means, and I don't want you to be a victim today of missing out on the good news. Maybe today, as Annabelle said, maybe today is your first time in church in a long time, maybe since last Easter. You should probably come around more. Maybe this is your first time in church ever. Maybe you come to church all the time, and you're just kind of like bored with it. Well, today we're going to understand really what it means to really grasp the concept of Easter and move from victim to victor and the victory God has for us in our life. And we recognize this morning that victory has to start somewhere, and victory starts with good news. Everyone say good news.
Good news.
It starts with good news. And we recognize that it's all about good news. And the work that Jesus Christ did for us on the cross. And so we're going to ask this question, and that's this. How does Jesus turn victims into victors? How does he do that? How does he turn victims into victors? Anybody want to know that, or do you just want to spend your life living as a victim? Now, I recognize that some of us, many of us here, are victims of serious things in our life, things that cause pain. Some of you are maybe victims of abuse. Some of you are victims of slander and gossip. Some of you are victims of discrimination. Some of you are victims of just your situation in life. You grew up poor. Maybe some of you guys are victims of being rich. Poor baby. I understand that there's some serious issues about being victims. Don't worry, in our series we're going to get to those things. But this morning, we're going to recognize that Jesus turns us into victors because of what he did on the cross. And to really appreciate the good news, we have to understand that there's bad news. There's bad news. I can tell you good news, but if you don't recognize the bad news, you're not really going to appreciate it. So let's say, for instance, I ran up to you and said, guess what? I have the anti-venom to the snake bite. And you look at me like, who cares? I've not been bitten by a snake. You don't care if I have the... But if you've been bitten by a snake and you've only got a few minutes to live, you're going, thank God, there's good news, I got anti-venom. You guys follow me right now? So you're not going to appreciate the good news unless you really understand the bad news. So today, I'm going to explain to you some bad news. And I've instructed the ushers and their safety team to lock the doors so that you guys can't leave until I'm done depressing you for the next few minutes with bad news. So get ready, buckle up for the next several hours. We're going to talk about it. And it's good for you. It's good for you. The bad news is this. The bad news is that we all royally miss God's mark. Every single person. We miss God's mark. We don't measure up to his holiness and his righteousness and his goodness. We don't. In high school, when I thought I was cool, now I know I'm not. My kids have told me so. I was in a basketball tournament, and we were playing a basketball tournament. And next to us, there was a volleyball tournament going on as well. And so in between games, we would go over and just kind of play volleyball just to kind of blow time. Well, I thought I was super cool, so I did a, I'm going to try a new serve in this game, so I did this jump serve thing, and I went up, and I was like, you know, time stood still, I was in the air, and I looked so awesome, and I hit the ball, and it glanced off my hand, and hit this girl smack in the face, and she went down crying, and all of her friends are looking at me like I'm the devil, and her nose and face were never the same. I ruined her. I did feel bad. I hit the ball really good, but I just missed, I missed the mark. Try as hard as I might, I missed the mark, and we all miss God's mark. We all miss what we're aiming at, perfection, goodness. We all miss the mark of it. That's God's mark. You see, every single one of us is guilty of sin. Say the word sin. Like you love it. No, nobody wants to talk about sin. Nobody wants to, you know, be accused of that. Nobody's like, no, I'm a good person. But we're all guilty of sin. We're guilty of sin before a holy God. And the just penalty for that sin is death and eternal separation from him. That's the just penalty. That's why Romans 3:23 is so important to us. It says, for everyone has sinned. No one is exempt. Everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standard. We don't measure up. We don't make it. For us to understand the good news, this is exactly where we have to start, is getting our minds wrapped around and our hearts wrapped around the fact that, man, there's some serious bad news, and I need to know it. I would be a terrible pastor if I didn't tell you the bad news, so that you might truly appreciate the good news of Jesus Christ. You know, a lot of times we think, well, I'm just a victim of my circumstances. Well, I grew up poor. These people did this thing to me. And that might be the case. You might say, but really, I'm a good person. Even though these things happen, I'm a good person. And everybody in the world thinks they're a good person. Jesus said, no one's good, not one. Only God is good. None of us are good. So I'm a good person. Here's the difference between someone who is a victim, and we've all been a victim of something, and someone who is a sinner. A victim says, it's not my fault, I'm innocent. I didn't do it, they did it to me. And that might be the case. Things that people have done wrong things to you. And maybe you've done, more than likely, you've done wrong things to other people. You know why? Because you're a sinner. A sinner says this, it's my fault, I'm guilty. That's what the Bible says. It says we're all sinners. Not discounting the things that they were victims of, but the real problem is that we have this sin issue and we need to have it dealt with. And that's the hard truth. The hard truth is this. We're not just victims of what's been done to us. We're sinners in need of saving. This is the bad news. We need some help. We need some help. And we can never be good enough to make our sins right. We can't be good enough. You know, our human nature, especially in America, is if I just did better, if I just try harder, if I fed a few more orphans, that'll do it. If I went to church a few more times, well, you should, but it doesn't make you a good person. If I just saved a few more cats. I want you to know that I've read this book many times. God talks about cats zero times. Because he doesn't like them either. He talks about lions. He's like, man, if you want to have a pet, get one that will rip your face off. That's when you know you have faith. But we often think, if I just Try harder. I'm a good person. That'll get me in. But we can never be good enough. All we have to do is take a quick look at the Ten Commandments and recognize how miserably we fall short. The Bible says, don't murder. That's one of the Ten Commandments. Don't murder. Jesus said, if you hate someone, you're guilty of murder. The Bible says, don't commit adultery. It's one of the Ten Commandments. If you've lusted after someone, you're guilty of adultery. That's what the Bible says. One of the Ten Commandments is, honor your father and mother. You are all so guilty of that. God saw you when you were a kid. We just fall so short. This is our problem. And the wonderful thing is that, you know, the good news is not about being a good person and trying harder and cleaning yourself up and getting your life together or being more religious. It's not what it's about. Our biggest problem isn't what's happened to us or our performance. It's within us. We have a heart problem. This is the bad news. This is why the good news is so wonderful. It's because we have this bad news. Our issue is a matter of the heart, and there's nothing we can do about our sinful heart condition. There's nothing you can do about it. So let's close in prayer. Have a great Easter. I hope you find lots of eggs and have a great brunch. Gosh, how depressing would that be? What'd you guys learn today? I suck. Anything else? Nope. I'm probably going to go back to that church next week. If we ended right there, that would be terrible. But the good news is so sweet. You see, the good news is that God didn't leave us in our sin. He sent Jesus to give us victory over it. Yes and amen. He didn't leave us in our sin. He gave us victory over it. Everyone wants victory in their life. You do not have to be a Christian to want to win in life. Everyone wants to have victory in their marriage, in their job, in their finances, in their relationships, in everything, in your hobbies. You want to have victory. We all want to be winners. We want to overcome the things that are bringing us down. Life. We want victory. I want victory. That's why I'm not a Raiders fan. I want victory. Everybody wants victory in their life. No one's exempt from that. But oftentimes we want victory just on earthly things and we forget about the ultimate victory that we need in our heart. To overcome the sin that is keeping us from a relationship with God. And we try so hard, we can't do it without God's help. That's why the Bible says that we're supposed to look to Him as our King and our Savior. Jeremiah 2:22 says, listen, although you wash yourself with soap and use an abundance of cleansing powder, the stain of your guilt is still before me, declares the Sovereign Lord. And the soap we use is good works. I just want to try harder. Now, you should use soap. But we use this thing called good works to try and measure up, to try and say, okay, God, I'm gonna overcome it on my own. I'm going to try it on my own, and I'm going to get there, and I'm going to scrub myself clean. And God says, no, listen, the stain of your guilt in your heart is before me. That's why John 3:16 is so valuable to us when it said that God so loved you that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever would believe in Him, you, would not perish but have everlasting life. God didn't send His Son in the world to condemn you, but to save you from the sin that was keeping you from Him. This is why Jesus came. This is the good news of Easter, that He would save the world through Him. If you want victory, it can only come through Jesus Christ, not by trying harder. You see, the Bible says that we need Jesus. See, Jesus paid the debt for our sins on the cross. He bore the punishment for our sin. He paid the price for our sin on the cross. Yesterday, my wife and I went to coffee with a friend, and she bought us coffee. It was very generous of her. And when we were done, I said, thanks for the coffee. And she goes, yeah, no problem. You guys were a cheap date. You guys are not a cheap date. Jesus paid a high price for you. He paid the ultimate price for you. He paid for the sin that you could not pay for on your own. You needed Jesus' payment. That's why Isaiah 53 speaks to our heart when it says this, he was despised, Jesus was despised and rejected, a man of sorrows, acquainted with the deepest grief. We turned our backs on him and we looked the other way. You do this today. You look the other way. God, I don't need you. Jesus, I don't need you. And you look the other way as if you don't need a Savior. He was despised and we didn't care. Yet it was our weakness that he carried. It was my sorrow that weighed him down. And we thought his troubles were a punishment from God, a punishment for his own sins. Jesus, you did this for yourself. But no, he did it for us. But he was pierced for our rebellion, for my rebellion. He was crushed for our sins. He was beaten so that we could be made whole. He was whipped so that you could be healed. Healed from the stain and the scar and the guilt and the shame of your sin. Of your falling short, of you missing the mark. The debt was overwhelming. And Jesus paid it all. He paid it all. Even when we were dead. The Bible says in Colossians, it says you were dead because of your sin. And because of your sinful nature, it was not yet cut away. Then God made you alive with Christ, for he forgave all our sins. Stop right there. It doesn't say because he holds all those sins over your head for all eternity. See, when you come to him, he forgives all the sin. He canceled the record of charges against you and took it away by nailing it to the cross. Jesus was nailed to the cross for your sin. Everyone say, my sin. Not someone else's sin. Although he died for the sins of the world. But oftentimes we say, oh yeah, well they really need a Savior over there. But you need a Savior. I need a Savior. I need Jesus. And he made the payment that we could never make by being a good person. Every other religion in the world tells you, you just be a good person and you're going to make it. You're going to reach that celestial heaven. You're going to reach that nirvana. You're going to become one with the universe. You're going to become one with that great power and eye in the sky. And you're going to make it. Just try a little harder. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says you can try from here till kingdom come, and you're not going to make it without Jesus. See, the Bible says in Romans 5, it says, but God demonstrated his love for us in this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. I love that verse because you know what it means? It doesn't say that God loved us so much that he waited for us to get our act together and then Christ died. It says that while we were screwing it up, while we were still living in our sin, while we were still denying God, Christ died for us on the cross. Thank God he didn't wait for me to get my act together because that's not happening. I've been trying. Ask my wife. We need Jesus, and we need him so desperately. The other day, I was talking to a friend, and he's been going through some very serious physical problems. He's had to have his leg amputated and part of his foot and just and transplants. It's a mess. I mean, I'm praying for the guy. He's my great friend. He goes, Zach, he goes, this has been such a traumatic thing for me over the past couple years. I think I might have to file bankruptcy because my company is failing because I've been in the hospital so much, I can't give it the attention it needs. I'm bankrupt. I don't know what to do. That is us when we come to God. We are spiritually and utterly bankrupt. And we need to go to God and say, God, I'm bankrupt without you. There is no way I can pay the debt. The debt is too huge. I'm beside myself. Help me. And God says, listen, Jesus paid it all. He paid all the debt on the cross. He died the punishment and the penalty for us. But it doesn't stop there. Because the best news of all is that Jesus didn't stay dead. Amen. On the third day, he rose from the grave, defeating sin and death and decay and all the wrong things that are wrong in our lives and in this world. And the story went like this. On one occasion, when the ladies went to the tomb to find Jesus after he was crucified, because they didn't realize that he was going to rise from the dead, it hadn't quite dawned on them yet, even though Jesus talked about it. The Bible says this in Luke chapter 24. It says, on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took spices and they had prepared and went to the tomb, and they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that came to them, gleamed like lightning, stood beside them. And in their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He's not here. He is risen." Why do you look for the living among the dead? Because here's the truth. Too many of us are looking for life and things that are already dead. And you're trying to find your way to eternal life. You're trying to find your way to things that are living, but they're already dead. You're trying to find life in your success and find life in your pleasures and find life without Jesus and find life in all of your stuff that you have that you feel is going to make you happy and fulfilled. And some of you try to find life in other ways to come to God. I'm going to tell you right now, Buddha is dead. Muhammad is dead. Confucius is dead. Mary Baker Eddy is dead. Sun Myung Moon is dead. All the other leaders are dead. Jesus died, but he walked out of the tomb. And this is what sets Christianity apart from every other religion in the world, because every other religious leader that has ever lived besides Jesus Christ tells you the lie from the pit of hell that you could make it on your own without Jesus. And Jesus said, listen, every other grave is full except for one, and that's mine. And you cannot come to God except through him. That's why Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one can come to the Father except through me. And that's why Ephesians chapter 2 is so important to us. And says, but God's so rich in his mercy, and he loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. It's only by God's grace that you have been saved. Yes. Only because of his grace. All the other graves are full except for one, and there's only one stone that's been rolled away, and that was the tomb of Jesus Christ. And the good news is this, that eternal victory can only be found in Jesus Christ. The truth is that God can roll the stone away from the tomb of your heart. The death that has been, the death of sin that has been holding you back from a true, deep relationship with him. And maybe you've been playing games with God. You've been playing God like he's a hobby, like he's just something to do on the side, something to entertain you when you feel sorry for yourself or you feel like you need help because you're going through a hard time. God's much deeper and bigger than that. He deals with the heart of the matter, and the heart of the matter is this: we are marred and dead because of our sin, but we have life in Jesus Christ. And that is the good news. And eternal victory can be yours. That's why Jesus said in John chapter 11, he said, I'm the resurrection and the life. And the one who believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? And that is my question to you this morning. Do you believe this? Because you believe a lot of things. We can believe a lot of things in this world. But the most important, and that is our sheer and utter need for Christ, our Savior. You can become successful in a lot of things. You can become good at a lot of things. But all of those things are temporary if you don't know Jesus. See, Easter is about the good news, not the good suggestion. A lot of people have good suggestions. Just get these crystals together, and you just look at these tarot cards, and you just watch the stars. Oh, no, no, no. I'm looking to the one who created it all. I'm looking to the one who knew no sin, but yet became sin for me. So that through him, I might become the righteousness of God. Not because of my works, not because of my power, because of his. But he is risen from the grave, and he is Lord. If I might be so bold, church, to tell you, it is time that you started treating him as Lord. And not just some religious figure, but Lord of your life. The one who redeemed us out of the pit, who called us out of the grave, and like Lazarus, he spoke to us, come forth, come out of the pit. Come to everlasting life that is only found in Jesus Christ. This is the good news, not a suggestion. Do you believe this? He said. The Bible says if you confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. This is the hope of the world. This is why we take a day every year and we remind ourselves the wonderful news of Easter. That Jesus didn't stay dead, but he came out of the tomb so that you can have your sins forgiven. That you would have a reason for living and have a home in heaven. There is no other way. Now you can't ever say, I didn't know. Because I just told you.